Praise amen. Amen. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. Praise God. That means I say walk down here and get the most important thing in the middle.
There we go.
Amen.
What are
you going?
Oh, they're
going
to be good.
Something's going to be a lot.
Oh, I need keys.
Keys in the car.
I go with you.
Y'all might get lost.
Oh, yeah. She'll be all right. She'll handle it.
Yeah.
She'll pull that hair out and be back down here once. Praise God.
She'll be all right.
I told her to meet them if they don't have
them. Yeah. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Amen. Once you find your place, we'll be able to stand with you for the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs 14. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture here this morning, and I'll get into the message. Let's look at verse number 12. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Our great Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today, dear Lord. We're thankful for the singing we heard, Father God. We're thankful for everyone who came out this morning, dear God. Father, we ask, dear Lord, that you touch the preaching of the Word of God here today, dear Lord, Father God, and just be with us, lead us, guide us, direct us, Father God. Maybe there's one here, dear Lord, that's lost and undone or backslidden, Father God. Lord, we ask that you put them on Holy Ghost conviction, Father God, Lord, that they'll make everything right with you, Father God. And we just love you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. I tell you what, Proverbs is a book to the young man. You see, it's a book that really gives you direction. It gives you understanding. It gives you things that you need to know. But the verse read here today is something I believe that we're living in now more than we ever have. It's said that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. I don't know if you've looked around lately, but there's a lot of ways that man's going that seems right to them. And it all leads to the same place, the path of sin. If you take a look at the prodigal son, he found that the attractive path led him to a pig pen. If you look when Peter was sitting by the alley and sitting by the fire with the world, next place you find him is weeping bitterly and crying his eyes out because he had went down a path of sin. Judas went out and had to hang himself because he ended up down a dead end road because he chose to betray Jesus Christ. There's a lot of ways that you can go down a path of sin. There's a lot of ways that me and you today could easily fall off the way. Once again, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right. So if you look around you today, there might be something in your life that you feel like is right in the way that you're living, but the Bible is going to tell you that it's not the right way. You have the definition of sin found in the Bible. The Bible says whoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So if you break the law, what does that mean? You have sin. Solomon defines sin as he that despises his neighbor sinneth. So that means if you hate your neighbor or you hate someone in your life, that's a sin. You are supposed to command it by God not only to love your neighbors, but I believe Jesus Christ said to love your enemies as well, right? And pray for them. Oh, I had that one hard. It says that then, Paul explained it is that whoever is not of faith is sin. So today, if you lose your faith in something or you lose your faith in God, then guess what that means? You have sin. It's a way, once again, you might not realize it. Like you hear it all the time, don't you, Sister Amy? Well, I'm only human, I'm going to lose faith. There's a way that seemeth right. They make you think that it's right, You hear that saying, and I know I've said it before, I'm only human, I'm going to mess up, but I like to keep my faith where it's supposed to be at. I like to keep my faith bound and trusting in God, because that's where my hope lies, and my hope is anchored in Christ Jesus. Amen? You see, there's a way that seemeth right. People will tell you it's understandable that you lost your faith. Paul tells you if you lose your faith, then guess what? You have sin.
Amen.
It's a sin to lose your faith. I don't care which way you try to look at it this morning. If you lose your faith in God Almighty, you have sinned. There's a way which seemeth right. There's a way that seems right to a man. But that's not the right way. Paul explained it as I said, as whosoever is not of faith is sin. That means if you're not saved, what are you? Sinner. You're sin. That's exactly what you are. James stated it as that, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. That's saying if you know that you're not supposed to do this, that you know that you're not supposed to go that route, but yet you still choose to do it, it's sin. That's saying if you decide to go over here and you believe in your heart that it's a sin to drink, which it is, and you say, well, I'm going to drink in moderation. James just warned you about that. He's saying not only do you know it's wrong, but you choose to do it anyway. If we look out in the world today, we see that James has spoken truth without a doubt. There's a way which seemeth right. And the world will tell you, Angie, that it's okay if you go do what you want to do, even though you know it's wrong. James says that's a lie. That's a sin.
That's right.
Miss Taylor, there are certain things that people will tell you that they say that you can do and it's okay for you to do. But the Bible says it's a sin. And I know you read the Bible through, 13 times now, amen? And they tell you it's right, and you know the Bible says it's wrong, then guess what? You have committed sin if you decide to do that act. Even though the world's telling you it's right, it's the right way to do things. James says, no, 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 no. Aiden, he says that's wrong. James says that I can tell you very easily, Brother Eddie, that it's okay for you to go out here and abuse a prescription medicine that's to you, even though you know it's wrong to do that, right? What does that make it? It makes it a sin. See, the world wants you to believe that there's a way that's right. There's a way that I can understand things. There's a way to do things. That's the right way to do it. But you've been raised, some of us have been raised in church our whole life, and we know what's right and what's wrong. And some of us wasn't raised in church our whole life, but still we know what's right and what's wrong. Amen. It doesn't matter if you've been in church 50 years or you've been in church 2 years or 2 months. If the Bible calls it a sin, and you choose to go do it, you have now committed sin against God, correct?
Amen.
It's just like the prodigal son. Go back to him for a second. He knew that the worldly lifestyle was wrong. But yet he wanted his whole inheritance to go out and live out on the town. And let me tell you where your friends can get you at. Let me tell you where living out on the town can get you at. Let me tell you where taking that time and knowing that you're doing something wrong and you're sinning against God can lead you. Do you know where it will lead you? Same place I said, into a pig pen eating with the swine. That's where it will lead you. You sit there and say, well, I've heard this and I've heard that my whole life. Well, I heard some things that I grew up on that I don't believe is true doctrine. And that's the truth. It's nothing bad. It's nothing sinful that the Bible would call it a sin. We all knew our pastor. He didn't like sin at all. Just like you shouldn't like it today. But James says, if you do something, if you know that it's evil to do something, and you choose to do it anyway, it's sin. And you have nobody to blame. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the church. You can't blame your mama. You can't blame your daddy. You can't blame your aunts. You can't blame your uncles. You can't blame your best friend. Because let me tell you, the only person to blame for you doing evil, knowing that evil is wrong, is yourself.
Amen.
You're the only one who can blame it on. John wrote that all unrighteousness is sin. Everything. All unrighteousness is sin. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means everything that's not of God is sin. That means lying is a sin. Somebody said, well, it's just a little white lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Because you know what that little white lie does? It builds on to another lie. And it builds on to another lie. And then you got to keep this thing going. And y'all tell me, you got to keep lying. And keep lying. So a lie is a sin, right? Somebody says, preacher, man, what are you talking about this morning? I don't really know. I just know one thing is that sin is a path that's well taken this day and time. And these great men of the Bible are trying to give you something to let you know that you are not perfect even after you're saved. I was stuck between three messages this morning and last night. This one on Esau and one on the blood of Christ. I said that I got to thinking about those three messages. And we know Esau was a sellout. Esau was unrighteous. Even though he cried, he could not find repentance. If you choose today to live an unrighteous lifestyle, can I tell you that's nobody's choice but your own? If you choose to live that sinful lifestyle, that's just some of the Bible definition of sin. There's a whole lot more we can go into. And if I would have took the time to study all them out, y'all really would have called me a long-winded preacher this morning. Amen. Because we would have been here for hours me trying to give all the definition of sins. But if you transgress against the law, you're a sinner. Even when Jesus prayed, he prayed that we would, he said, Father, forgive us that trespass against us, that who committed that transgression against us. You should also forgive yourself if you sin. You know, one of the hardest things to do after you realize the Holy Ghost really gets on you about you committing a type of sin or you living in a type of sin, you know, one of the hardest things to do is to forgive yourself for it. A lot of people don't want to believe that, but that is the truth. You see, a lot of people like to try to keep that secret sin, Brother Ed. They like to keep the one that's secret on the inside. I'm talking about the secret sin like Cain's impulsive sin. You see, when Cain went out and slaughtered his brother, Abel, he thought no one knew about it. He had killed him. He had gotten away with it. He was fine. Some people say it was a rock. Some people say it was something else. I don't know what it was. It could have been a gun. It could have been a rock. I don't know what it was. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. But I know what it does tell us. That Cain slew his brother. That he killed him. I don't know how he killed him. A lot of people like to say he picked up a rock and bashed him in the head. The Bible doesn't say that. So I'm not going to speculate how Abel was killed this morning. But I will speculate that Cain thought he had got away with it. Do you know why I can say that? Because the Bible says that Cain thought he had got away with it. Do you know how I know that, Sister Tammy? It's because when the Lord came to Cain and spoke to Cain, he said, Cain, where is thy brother Abel? And what does Cain say? I don't know, God. What am I, my brother's keeper? I don't know where he's at. You go find him. He said, oh, no, I know where he's at. His blood cried out from the ground to me, and I know that you had slew him. You might think your sins are secret this morning. You might think you're getting away with something because the church don't know it. You may think you're getting away with something because your mama don't know it or your daddy don't know it. But I got to tell you right now, God knows your secret sins.
Amen.
So he don't know what I'm doing behind closed doors. He knows the very being of your heart. He knows where it lies. He knows what it's doing. You say, well, that's kind of scary. It is. Let's think about this. When the Bible says that Job chose to sin not, it didn't say he chose not to sin not out of his mouth. It didn't say that he chose not to sin out of his brain. It said he did not sin in his heart. Do you know why I said that? Everybody around him thought he was sinning. Everybody around him thought he had a secret sin in his life. But one man knew he didn't.
Amen.
And the only one that mattered was him.
That's right.
You see, You say you might think you have something in your life that you're hiding from your grandparents. You might have something in your life that you feel like that you're getting away with. But can I tell you, just like Cain, God knows exactly what you're doing. He knows where you're at and when you're doing it. You may say, well, I think I'm okay. I'm hitting out down here. I'll be okay. Won't nobody know about it. God knows about it.
Amen.
There is no secret sin with God. You see, they might think it's a covered sin that you've already had covered in your life. Take a look at Joseph and his brothers. They thought they had covered it up. They had kidnapped their brother. They had threw him in the ground. They had sold him into slavery. They took that coat of many color and they killed a lamb and they dripped it in the blood and they took it back to his father, Jacob, and said, look, he was killed on the way to us. No one will ever know, brothers. We'll just keep this between us, brother. We'll just keep this between us, Dean. Won't nobody ever know we done it. Nobody ever know we done it. And a lot of the churches in Danville, Virginia, have people sitting on the pews that are literally trying to cover their sin up with self-righteousness because they come to church, Dean. Because they pay their tithes, Brother Henry. Because, you know, because they come in, they show up every week, they show up every time the door's open. They feel like that's a coverment. That's a cover-up for their sin. That's just what Joseph's brothers did. They covered up their unrighteousness and tried to cover it up with blood of righteousness. I can sit here today and we can go around the room and every single one of you can tell me you're saved. And I have to take it at your word. But if you're trying to cover it up, you're trying to say that you're saved because you come to church or because you give to the church or because you're in church activity, can I tell you this morning, if you don't have Jesus Christ, I don't care what kind of cover you think you may have, when the morning comes and the day breaks and the eastern sky's busted open, you better hope you remember, you better hope that you find that salvation and stop trying to cover it up and actually get applied.
Amen.
And be forgiven of your sin. So you have people who try to have that secret sin. They try to cover that sin. And then, man, you have King Ahab's sin. And man, that's all he was. He was a repeater sinner. Everything he done was a sin. Everything he done. King Ahab brought in idols into the land of Israel and to Judah. Think about that. This man was useless. He had no backbone, and the only thing he done was sin. We all know somebody like that. I don't care which way you try to look at it. I don't care if you try to be nice about it. We all know somebody in our life that's a repeater of a sinner that thinks everything they do is right, but all of it's against God. They think that the party crowd's right, but it's against God's will. Well, I was told the other day, man, that the church crowd ain't nothing but addicted to Jesus. Well, I'd rather be addicted to Jesus, amen, than addicted to heroin and crack cocaine or heroin or any other type of drug, alcohol out there. At least my addiction's going to get me somewhere, amen. At least my works with faith is going to get me somewhere, amen. Somebody says, well, you believe King Ahab is in heaven? Absolutely not. I do not. You take it how you want. They say, well, he was the king of Israel. And? Was he anointed? I'm not talking about anointed of a prophet. I'm talking about anointed of God. There's a difference there. Amen. He was, and I thought, this man was a sinner. It's bad when you're, I wouldn't even say that, amen. I'm going to move on before I get into something else. Praise God. But you have the definition of sin, which that was just a few definitions of sin found in the Bible. But you also have deceitfulness of sin. This is the one that I feel like I'm probably beyond the longest. Amen. And can I tell you today that the writers of the Hebrews, he wrote this right here. He said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's a lot of people today that I know that say they're on the road to heaven that has been deceived by a man in a suit or deceived by a church or deceived by someone that told them that they were saved, but yet they still in a deceitful sin. Because let me tell you once again, if the blood is not applied and you have not been forgiven of your sin, you cannot be saved. So many churches today tell you if you come to church, you're saved. If you pay your tithes, you're saved. If you do good works, you're saved. If you do this, you're saved. If you do that, you're saved. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven. It ain't a good work. It's not nothing you can do. It's by the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Yeah. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Yeah. That's what Jesus said. That's not what Josh Cook said. That's what Jesus said. Paul writes, he says that whosoever believes that Christ was, that God risen his Son from the dead shall be saved. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I talk to so many people, Aiden, I talk to them all the time, brother. They say, well, I believe in God. Guess what? That's not enough. They say, well, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Guess what? That's not enough. They say, well, I believe God created the heavens and the earth. Guess what? That's not enough. They say all sorts of things. They say they believe their Bible. But when you get to Jesus Christ, they act like they don't know who you're talking about. You know why? Because they had been deceived by deceitful sin. There's a line that's drawn to you. And there's a line that's drawn here this morning. Hey, man, it's okay for me to talk to you about God and God's love. Once I cross that line and I start telling you about Jesus Christ and He died for your sins and that you're a sinner and that without Him you're going to die and go to hell. Once I cross that line, it's all over for me. Yes, I become persecuted. I become pushed down and pushed out. It's okay to talk about God and His love, but once I cross that line, once I cross that line and start telling you about Jesus, I'm in the wrong. Do you know why that is? It's okay to talk about God. It's okay to talk about God's love. But once you start talking about what Jesus done for you, you start willingly, willingly going into someone and telling them that they thought they were saved, that they was deceived, and they can't handle it. Because that deceitful sin has been planted and it has started to grow and grow and grow and grow, Jenny. And they think they're okay, and they think they're fine, because maybe they do pay their tithe. Maybe they are a good church member that shows up every time the doors open. Maybe they do good works in the community. Maybe they do all these things that you're supposed to do as a Christian, but you don't have Jesus. So what does James say about that? Your works without faith, which means your works without Jesus, is useless. No good. Paul says it's by grace that you are saved, not that of yourself, lest any man should boast. They don't like reading that though. They don't like reading that Jesus came into this world. You know, in the NIV and all the other Bibles that I can't remember right off the top of my head, there's a verse in Acts that's completely removed. You can only find it in your King James Version Bible. You know what that is? And the man says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they ripped it right out of there. Do you know why? Once again, it's okay to talk about God. But it's not okay to talk about Jesus. But that's not Bible. That's not Bible. God is willing to save you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost wants you to get saved. But the only way to get to heaven is to go to Jesus.
Amen.
He said that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man, that means you, and you, cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't care what these big churches want to tell you. Don't care how big they try to tell it and blast it out all over the world. That these televangelists that they call them, they be telling you send me $50, you're saved. Let me tell you, the last person who tried to borrow by the Holy Ghost, what happened to him? He ended up dying and going where? To hell, because you cannot buy the Spirit of God. You cannot buy salvation. Salvation is a free gift given unto man.
Amen.
It's not worth $50. Can't put a price tag on it.
Amen.
But yeah, there's so many people deceiving people in the world today saying, oh man, if you do this for me, if you buy me my private jet, hey man, church, if we ever afford to buy me a private jet, spend it on something else, amen. Buy me my private jet, and you know, I'm going to put you on my prayer list. I'm going to go ahead and say this, and I'll probably upset some people out there in the world out there today, but I wouldn't give 2 cents for Joel Osteen to walk through them back doors this morning. If you tell me the only way you're going to pray for me is me sending you $25 to put you on my, put me on your prayer list, shame on you. Shame on you. We're being deceived. Your family is being deceived. Now, I can go ahead and tell you this right now. This is not a popular message by no means whatsoever. It will never be popular. Do you know why it's not popular? Because it's truth. There's truth in this message this morning. Jeremiah stated that the heart of the deceitful above all things. He says, Jeremiah starts that the heart is deceitful above all things and despitefully wicked. How many of you in this room have heard, I have a good heart? At least once in your life. How many of you ever heard that? Amen. Me too. A bunch of times. Trust me. I got a good heart. I got a big heart. Oh man, I help everybody I can. Well, ta-da! There's your good heart. Jeremiah says your heart ain't worth nothing.
That's right.
It's wicked. Miss, I got a good heart. Mister, I got a good heart. You better hope you got Jesus. That's the only way you got anything. Yeah. Yeah. When he takes that old stony heart up, and he placed a new heart of the flesh in. Even he said that. You know, I always thought that was weird, Brother Eddie. The flesh is wicked, right, Jim? That's what the Bible says. The heart's wicked and deceitful. The most wicked thing in your body. Why would he take a stony heart out of me and put a fleshly heart back in me? Does that make any sense? You know why that is? Because you're still human. You're still human.
Amen.
And that heart of stone can be turned back into stone. No, it can't. Jesus lives on the inside of me. He might live on the inside of you, but you get hard in that heart. You go ahead and live in sin all you want to. Do what you want to. Think it's okay because you've been deceived because somebody handed you a free pass to do what you wanted to do. I tell you what, that's not right. I don't care how good of a heart you might have. I don't care how good of a person you might think you be. I don't care how good you think your self-righteousness is. Let me tell you real quick, your self-righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God.
Amen.
The only way you're made the righteousness before God is what? Jesus Christ. Who made you the righteousness before God. So many people are so deceived because they think they're a good person. That they think that their good works and their good deeds. And oh man, I fed the homeless and I went out here and I'm talking about I prophesied in the name of the Lord and I've done all these things, and they'll just keep telling you that, and they'll just keep rubbing it in and throwing it at you. Like, that's how I know I'm saved. I keep doing all this stuff. But let me tell you right now, here's the judgment day that's coming. He's going to sit some on the left, and there's going to be others on the right. He's going to walk over to the side that's on the left, and he ain't going to start crying. All those things that I just said, we've done this, and we've done all this in your name. And we prophesied for you. He's going to look over at him. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of all things. You know what he's going to look at him and say? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Go ahead and be a good person and see where it gets you. Nowhere without Jesus.
Amen.
He's going to go over to the right side. Man, I don't deserve to hear this. He's going to say, welcome home, thy good and faithful servant. But I deserve to hear, Brother Head, his welcome home. Thou wicked and no good servant that you were. Come on in. Because of the blood is why you made it.
Amen.
Because the blood was applied is why you made it.
Amen.
Come on in. This is your home now.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't deserve heaven. I'm wicked. I'm horrible. And I'm your pastor. And the only reason I am what I am is by the grace of God.
Amen.
The psalmist cried, he said, "Oh Lord, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Oh, let me tell you, I should have just used that verse to preach the whole time I've been up here. How many deceitful tongues have you heard in your life? How many times have you heard that it's okay for you to do whatever you want to do because Jesus is going to save everybody in the end? There's a way that seemeth right. I heard that one night in a camp meeting, the preacher preached on the same verse. He got to preaching about there's a way that seemeth right. And the main thing he used was talking about a new modern day religion. It said, "Don't worry how you live, Sister Tammy. Don't worry how you live, Daddy. Don't worry how you live, Rocky. We'll all get saved in the end." Bible says that hell will open up her mouth, will enlarge her mouth. That means there's going to be so many people that's been deceived by a deceitful tongue. I'm talking about those people that's sitting on pews this morning that believe they got what it takes to get to heaven. Because they have been deceived. Can I tell you right now, the only person who truly knows that you're saved is yourself. Lying lips and deceitful tongues. So many people are putting their soul on lying lips and deceitful tongues. I got what it takes to get to heaven. But do you really have what it takes to get to heaven? Because if you're living in sin, and you think living in sin, I don't care who you are, if you're saved and you try to go out and live in sin, I'm one of those that believe the Holy Spirit will get you. That He will put you right. But once again, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. And man has so many man-made doctrines out here today. They believe in so many different things like moderation, and they believe in living right and doing good deeds can get you to heaven. It's not so. You know, you want to find, amen, some of the best Christians, amen, that ever walked the face of the earth. You go find that old drunk down at the bar stool. You go find that old drug addict who used to live with needles in his arms or a pipe in his mouth all the time. You go find the one who can barely address himself correctly because he has no education. You go find the one who's been through some stuff that was a harlot, or you go find someone that lived an adulterous lifestyle. You want to find some of the best Christians that ever walked the face of the earth. I'll tell you why. You know why they were so good at serving God? Because they've been deceived their whole life. Amen. And when they found the one who would never deceive them, they trusted Him. You know, a lot of churches don't want drunks in them today. They don't want the addicted one in there today. They don't want the ones in there that can really help them thrive and be a testimony unto their neighborhood. You know why? Because they don't dress right. Because they don't look right. Because God can't save them. Well, I tell you what my Bible says. That whosoever, amen, that means anybody, right, that means everybody. And if the drunk's not allowed in your church, you shouldn't be there. If the alcoholic's not allowed in your church, you shouldn't be there. If the drug addicts that are not allowed there, you shouldn't be there. If the harlot can't be there, you shouldn't be here. If the mighty adulteress can't be in there, what? You shouldn't be here. So many churches don't want those people. Tell them, come here.
That's right.
And come sit with us. I look around the room and I see several drunks. I know. I'm one. One of them is an old drunk. Young old drunk. I'm one of the biggest drunks in Rockingham County. Look where the Lord brought me from.
Amen.
I had deceitful people in my life even telling me what I was doing was okay and that I was fine. I had people in my life telling me what I was doing was perfectly fine, perfectly normal, and I could keep living the way I wanted to live. But I had an old man about this tall right here, every time he saw me, would tell me that I was living wrong. What I was doing was incorrect. How I was living was absolutely wrong. That I needed to quit going out to those bars. That I needed to quit going out through sitting there and doing all those things that I was doing. And I need to get my life back right with God. And I need to stop living a sinful life. And I need to get back on the right track. You know why? He wasn't going to deceive me. He believed in the truth. You go out here and tell your family it's okay to do with some of the things they're doing? You're wrong. Go out here and tell your family it's okay. That's something I can't stand. You can ask Coleman. It burns me up. It just absolutely burns me up. I can't stand to see a teenage girl walking around with no clothes on. I can't stand seeing a grown woman walking around with no clothes on. What's the first thing Adam and Eve done when they were saved? When they figured out their eyes were open seeing, they put clothes on, right? I can't stand it. It just drives me crazy. I can't stand to see a young man with his ears gauged about this big because somebody told him it was okay to do that. I can't stand tattoos. I look at them every morning in the mirror. You know what it reminds me? Who I used to be.
Amen.
I would get them removed if it didn't cost so much.
Reminder, we're not to go back. We're going to...
But look, I'm telling you, man, it was... You can be deceived by lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Even if you're saved today, don't think you're above it now.
That's right.
Don't think you're above it. I know some people who said they were Baptists and grew up in Baptist church their whole life, and they sit over there in a Catholic church somewhere. Somebody explain that to me. Lying lips and deceitful tongues. All that happened. Because I just want you to know, I'm not trying to knock anybody over this morning, but those two don't even mix. Those yokes don't even mix. Man, my tablet wasn't blank. Been out there talking too long to y'all guys. Jesus said, take heed that ye be not deceived. So that means Jesus is telling us that we need to watch what we listen to, watch what we know. I was speaking with a guy the other day, and we was talking about some of the things we watched, and he said, Brother, I know I'm not perfect. I said, I know I like things that you don't like, and that's okay. I said, but can I tell you that I'm so in touch with reality and God that some of the things I see don't even bother me? Because I know what's real and I know what's fake. But not every Christian can say that, ain't it? Some people really do have to watch what they listen to and watch what they hear and what they watch on TV because they're so deceived. They're so easily deceived. That's why I always try to watch what I say and watch what I do. Because everybody's watching. Man, I'm a preacher. Believe me, everybody's waiting on me to mess up. You're a Christian. Everybody's waiting on you to mess up. Very easy to be deceived. I'm telling you the secret to not being deceived right now. Listen, write this down. Read your Bible and pray. And it'll be harder to deceive than anything else.
Yeah.
Read your Bible and pray. You'll know what's right and you'll know what's wrong. But if Jesus would tell us to take concern of being deceived, don't you think you should pay attention to being deceived? Some of us might have kids that try to deceive us. Try to tell us false doctrines. Try to tell us this and that. I know other preachers that I don't agree with some of the stuff they say when they start talking to me about it. Yeah, you can go on with that. I just don't want to hear it. Lying lips and a deceitful tongue is all it is. We went to a meeting not too long ago and there's a Calvinist preacher there. We let Brother Jeff Kayla handle him. We just walked away and went somewhere else and talked. They was over there talking doctrine and a difference between the whosoever and the Calvinist. Jeff, have fun. I'm going this way. I don't want to listen to foolishness. I don't want to accidentally be deceived. Even though I am far from Calvinist. Paul warned, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whosoever, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you want to go out here deceiving people, remember what you sow, you will reap. If you want to go out here and tell your family that it's okay, they're living their sinful lifestyle, that they're shacking up, that they're living the way they want to live, that they're doing the things they want to do, it's okay that they drink in moderation, it's okay as long as you just do it little by little, that's okay. You are deceiving them. I tell you what, I give my daddy credit. He never once tried to deceive me. I asked him about Santa Claus when I was little. He looked me straight in the eye. I knew before most kids did. He said, I'm him. I buy everything you get underneath that tree. My daddy never tried to deceive me. He always told me the truth. Even when it came to where babies come from at a young age, he told me the truth. He was never trying to deceive me. That there was this fantasy land out there with fantasy creatures and fantasy things. And those things that we tell our children, guess what they are? They are deceitful. Do you know why they're deceitful? Because they make them believe in things that's not reality. He never played games with us. When it came to the Bible, when it came to the truth, he never played games with us. He never tried to deceive us and take us away from this book. If you do that to your kids, it's your business. I'm going to pray for you. But remember, you're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. And lastly, there's a death by sin, brother. I know some of y'all looking like y'all ready to go home. I done preached y'all out this morning. Amen. Praise God. But there's the death to sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That deceitful death, that covered death, that secret sin, all that leads to death. Do you know why it is appointed unto man to die once? Because we're all born in sinful nature.
Amen.
And ever since the appointed unto man to die twice. It says it's appointed unto man to die once. So where are you going with this? We'll just follow along. We'll get there in just a second. It says it's appointed unto man to die once. Then after this, the judgment. There is a second death. That second death is found for those that are deceived, those that thought they were saved, those that believed they were saved, those that think their good works get them to heaven, those that think, because that verse right there that says, for the wages of sin is death, that's who it's talking about. Hey, over here, it's you. But the verse didn't end there. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? You know why? You don't have to die because of your sins. All of us in here, unless the rapture happens, one day we'll close our eyes. But you don't have to die the second death. The horrible death. You think your first death might be bad because you might be suffering here on this earth. Well, let me tell you about the second death real quick that's caused by your sins and your rejection of Jesus Christ. It is an eternal pain, damnation.
Amen.
You'll be cast out into the lake of fire for eternity. That's where your sins get you. That's what the deceitful ones get you. And I tell you what, some of the ones deceiving people might be saved, and I feel sorry for them. Because in judgment day, the blood of those deceitful people, the ones they deceived, will rest upon their hands. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death was promised to Adam and Eve that they took of the tree. Spiritual death came the instant they sinned. The instant that they took of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, Jenny. Sin entered into the spirit. And spiritual death became a thing. Not only physical, but spiritual. Eternal death is called the second death. I don't know today your life. A lot of preachers like to think they know their church life. I'm going to be honest, I don't know what y'all do outside these four walls. Unless you tell me. There might be some things you don't tell me, which is a good thing. You'll influence my messages. Then get mad at me. But maybe there's something in your life that's hindering you. I'm talking about sin will hinder you. That's hindering you from doing the work that the Lord has called you to do. Maybe there's something that you have in your life that's sin that's living. Let's just call it what it is. I said something. Maybe there's a sin living in your life that's hurting you and doing the things that you think, hey, I got this hidden. I got it under control. I'm absolutely fine. I don't need to. I don't need anything. Nobody knows about this. Or maybe there's a sin in your life that you feel like you have covered up. That everything's been handled, everything's been worked out, but you continue doing it, so guess what? Everything's not worked out. Maybe tonight you're just a sinner. Tonight, today, you're just a sinner that's in need of salvation. Maybe you've been deceived. Maybe somebody told you for a long time that you're saved. That you've done all these good works your entire life, that you'll be forgiven. But let me tell you right now, not even Moses went to the Holy Land until Jesus went down to the center of the earth and got him. Amen? That's facts. Not a single Old Testament person other than Enoch and Elijah that walked home and went home on a flame of chariot. Absolutely none of them went up with Jesus Christ until he went down to apply the blood. You cannot get to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I guarantee you, each person that's sitting in this room has a family member that needs to hear for the wages of sin or death. And they need to be told about that second death. Because if you don't come to know Jesus, that's not a hypothesis I'm telling you about. That's a fact that I'm telling you about this morning. Sin. Let me go ahead and just set the record straight real quick before we come to the altar. The outside sin is not hurting the church. It's the inside that's hurting the church. It's just like a disease. A disease in your body doesn't start on the outside. It gets on the inside. And works through your body. That's what sin does to your soul this morning, Brother Ed. It gets in on the inside and starts rotting all the way to the out. It might take a long time for it to show itself. But if you know that it's evil and you choose to do it, that's a sin. If you today and maybe somehow deceive somebody in your family by telling them something that was wrong and later on you found out it was wrong, guess whose job it is to go correct it now? Yours. If you told somebody that it was okay for them to drink in moderation, it's your job to tell them it's not. Do you know how I know that? I used to believe that. And I've been trying to set the record straight ever since. The Lord opened my eyes and told me it was wrong. I've been trying to set the record straight ever since. Lower unto them and give strong drink to the neighbor's lips. I don't know who I was preaching to this morning. In fact, I never know who I'm preaching to. You want to know the truth. I just do what the Lord tells me to do. And He deals with the rest. Because I ain't nothing but a servant. Amen. I'm the mailman. I didn't write the paper. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to come this morning, you can come. There's some things going on in our lives that we need to get straightened out. If you'd like to come, you can come.